Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gorin Chagiga Daf Gimel. We began this Masechta yesterday. We continue at the very top on four lines from the top on Gimel Omud Aleph. Yesterday we left off saying there was a distinction between the different types of people that had certain disabilities. For example, a person that both could not hear and could not speak was classified as a lav bar das. He wasn't considered halachically mentally competent. He was lumped in together with the cheresh, the shota, and the katan. And this person was potter both from all mitzvahs in the Torah, and therefore both from the Shalmei Simcha, Shalmei Chagiga, the very shlomim that a person had an obligation to go bring on a yontif, as well as the Olas Riyah and the concept of Riyah, of being seen, going up to the Azara of Aliyah Saregel on yontif. He was potter from both of them, as opposed to a person who was just unable to hear, but he could speak, or vice versa, the person who was able to hear but could not speak, they were chayev in simcha. However, they were potter from the re'iyah. So the question now is, why were they potter from the re'iyah but chayev in the simcha? So the Gemara says, again, four lines in the top, Gimel Amud Aleph, Maishna le'inyan re'iyah de petire, why do we say that the person that was either deaf or mute, unable to speak, he was obligated in simcha, but he was potter from re'iyah, but we are obligating them in the mitzvah of simcha. Why should there be such a distinction between re'iyah and simcha by the person that only had one of the two? He either could hear or he could speak. He couldn't do both, but he was able to do one of the two, as opposed to the person that couldn't do both was exempt from both of them. So Gemara says, because we make a comparison between the re'iyah and hakel. Hakel is something that is a very interesting din. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we should be able to practically celebrate hakel in Yishlayim this year in the Binyan, Beis HaMikdash HaBinuya. Because in the post-Shemitah year, in the Shemitah year right now, in the post-Shemitah year, during the holiday of Sukkot, after the Shemitah year, there's a big gathering known as the Hakel gathering, as we'll see from the Psukim. And during this gathering, certain things were done in the Beis HaMikdash, and we learn out from who was obligated to go to Hakel, who's obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So the Gemara says, we compare the two, that in regards to Re'iyah, we compare it to Hakel. Linyan Re'iyah, the obligation to go up the Ola Regel and or to also do the Olas Re'iyah, Goma Re'iyah, Re'iyah Mihakel. That's a comparison, a Xerah Shava that we learn out between Re'iyah and Hakel. What is that? Tekhsiv. It says in the Pasuk by Hakel, Hakel Esa'om, Ho'anoshim, V'hanoshim, V'yataf. So the Pasuk tells us that everyone is obligated to go up the Hakel, the men, the women, and the children. We'll have an interesting drasha from Rabbi Tanchum a little bit later in the shir as to what is the purpose of the men, the women, and the children going up for Hakel. Now, that's what it says in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. The whole Pasuk, we're going to continue darshan a little bit later on, so I'll say the rest of the Pasuk now. Hakel is om, Hanoshim, Vanoshim, Yatat. That's what we read. It says, V'ger Hashem Esherecha, L'man Yishmu, U'l'man Yilmedu. That's very important. We're going to darshan those words, L'man Yishmu, and L'man Yilmedu in a moment. So that's the end of that Pasuk. That's Pasuk Yud Beis. But in the previous Pasuk, it said, B'vol Cho Yisrael, Le'ra'os, Espinei Hashem Elokecha, B'makom Asher Yivchar. We're going to need that whole pasuk darshan in most of it later on, so that's why I read the whole pasuk now. So we have these two psukim, one right after the other, in regards to hakel. So it says the word leiraos in regards to hakel, and it said, of course, the word yeraeh in regards to the mitzvah of re'iyah. So we have this gzeirah shav over here, re'iyah, re'iyah, hakel to the re'iyah. Now, that tells us that we compare the two, but it doesn't tell us how do we know by Hakel that there's a din that the person who has only one of the two disabilities, he's a Shomea, but he's not a Medaber, or he's a Medaber, but he's not a Shomea, is Potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. We said we learned that out from Hakel, but how do we know he's Potter by Hakel? V'has b'nolan. So Gemara says, Dixi, because the Pasuk that we just read said at the end of Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Leman Yishmu. Uleman Yilmedu. That's how we pronounce those two words. We'll see. We'll darshan that in a moment. So it seems to be saying that if you, in fact, can hear and can learn, so then you're obligated in the mitzvah of Hakel. Implication being, if you can't hear, can't learn, then you're potter from the mitzvah of Hakel. And if you're potter from Hakel, so we said you're potter from Re'iyah because we made the Xerushava, Re'iyah, Re'iyah, from Hakel to Re'iyah. Now, Tanya, we learned in a brisa about understanding the words l'man yishmu, l'man yibodo. It says l'man yishmu. What is that coming to exclude? Somebody is prat l'medaber v'eno shemeya. That comes to exclude somebody that can't hear. It says l'man yishmu. You should come to hakel in order that you should hear. Nebuch, if somebody can't hear, so he's excluded from that mitzvah, even though he can speak, but he can't hear. And then what are the words l'man yilmadu come to exclude? That's prat l'shomeya. Somebody can hear. V'eino medaber, because he's incapable of learning. So such a person that can't speak, albeit he can hear, is also incapable of learning. L'man yilmadu teaches us that din. More questions is, really? If somebody can hear, but he can't speak, he can't learn, why can't he hear and learn? Who says he has to be able to speak in order to be able to learn? That implies l'meimer d'chi lo mishtoi. If a person cannot speak, lo gomar, he's incapable of learning. But that's not true. We'll show you ma'aseh shahaya. Besides the fact that we all know that that's not the case, he says v'ohanu trei ilme. There were these two people that were unable to speak. The havu b'shevuvuse the Rebbe that lived in the neighborhood of Rebbe, and they would go to Rebbe's shir every day. Who were these two people? They were b'nei b'rate. They were the sons of the daughter of Rav Yochanan ben Gudgada. They were the grandchildren, the grandsons of Yochanan Good Gedah through his daughter, or alternatively, the Amri law, others say that they were B'nai Achse, they were the sons of the daughter of Rabbi Yochanan. They were the nephews of Rabbi Yochanan through his sister. Now, one of Rabbi Yochanan's sisters married Reish Lakish. I'm assuming this is not that same sister. First of all, we don't know that he had two sons, Reish Lakish. The word does mention that he has one son. In any event, this is a sister of Rabbi Yochanan who had two sons. These were the two people that were unable to speak, either Rav Yochanan and Gudgada's grandchildren or Rav Yochanan's nephews. In any event, they went to the shir of Rebbe. The chol emas to have oil Rebbe lebe medrash. Whenever Rebbe would give shir in the base medrash, heavy ailu, these two mutes came. The yosve kamayim, they would sit right in front of him. Umenayde bereishayu, and they would nod their heads in understanding whenever Rebbe would say a certain din, umirachashin sivavasayu, and they would move their lips, they would repeat over what Rebbe seemed to say. Oh boy, Rebbe, rachmi alai, Rebbe was so impressed with them that he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should heal them, v'itzu, and in fact, they were healed, and they were now able to speak. So now, people could go and test them, and the ishtakach, and they saw the havu gemiri, that they in fact had learned hilchusa. Rashi says mishnayis over here, hilchusa means the halachos, the gemara, the sifra, the sifri. They learned the various medrashim on the chumash. They're kula shas. They knew everything. They learned all the shas. In other words, they were big tamidei chachamim. And previously, they've been able to hear, unable to speak. And clearly you see that somebody can hear, albeit they're unable to speak, could certainly learn. So how can you tell me l'man yishmu means to exclude somebody that can't hear? Okay, that we could understand. But l'man yibudu means to exclude somebody that can't speak from being able to learn. That's not true. So I'm a Mazutra. Mazutra answers and says, no, you're reading the word wrong. Don't read it l'man yibudu. Kari bay, read it as if you were to pronounce it l'man yilamedu. If you can't teach it to others, that nebuch, a person who can't speak, cannot do. So therefore, l'man yishmu and l'man yilmadu, which we read as l'man yilamedu, come to exclude from the mitzvah of hakel, and therefore from the mitzvah of ariyah, a person who has one of the two disabilities. Either he can hear, but he can't speak, or he can speak, but he can't hear. Rav Ashi Omar, I'll show you that this is right. He says, v'adai l'man yilameduhu. You definitely read l'man yilmadu, we darshne, to read it as l'man yilamedu, that you have to be able to go and teach other people. Because if not, this okadaitoch l'man yilmadu, that you want to learn it the way you said, that a person who can't speak cannot learn. So he says, v'kevin d'lo mishtoi lo gomar, since he can't speak, he can't learn, that's wrong. And the other part, v'kevin d'lo shoma lo gomar, if you can't hear, l'man yishmu, if you can't hear, you can't learn as well. So then why do you need both of these psukim? If they both teach me the same thing, hi, l'man yishmu nafku, you can learn both of them after l'man yishmu. Why do you need l'man yilmadu? Oh, elavadai, l'man yilameduhu, you read it as if it said l'man yilamedu, and this will teach us that the person who can't speak is also included in the din over here of being exempt from hakel, and therefore exempt from re'iyah. Now, Amar Rabbi Tamchin tells us, Cheresh b'ozno achas, if a person is deaf on only one ear, potim l'ariyah, he's also exempt from the mitzvah of ri'iyah. This idea that a deaf person is potter from hakel, potter from ri'iyah, so that's not only a person who's deaf in both of his ears, he can't hear at all, but even if he's deaf only in one ear, Rabbi Tamchin says he's potter from the mitzvah of ri'iyah, because the end of the pasuk that we had read, pasuk yud aleph, the first pasuk of the two psukim, shenemar b'ozneim, the end of that pasuk says, As the Torah says, "Neged kol Yisrael b'oznehem." All Klai Yisrael gathered to listen to the Torah. Neged kol Yisrael b'oznehem. B'oznehem tells us that even if one of your ears is no good, then you're not chayiv in this mitzvah because you need to come and listen with oznehem, plural. Where it says, really? But we needed that to teach us that all of Klai Yisrael is supposed to be there. That taught us a din that is different than what you're trying to teach us. We needed to teach everybody has to be there, and you're saying it means both ears. Where it says, no, that everybody has to be there. How? That's when that from it has to be in front of all of Klai Yisrael. That's how we know that everybody has to be there. And then we can say, that everybody has to have two ears in order to be chayiv in this mitzvah. Where it says, no, imi neged kol Yisrael was to teach us that all of Klai Yisrael have to be there. Havamina, I would have said, afal gav lo shami, even if they can't hear. Therefore, kosa rachmona b'yoznehem, to teach means, well, who do shami, that they have to hear. But lav davka, that they have to have two ears. So where it says, no, that's incorrect as well. How, mi leman yishmu nafka, that we learn after leman yishmu, so they have to hear. That would tell me, even if you could hear only with one ear, that would be good. Therefore, you need the other drasha b'yoznehem to teach me that you need to have both ears. Okay, that was Rabbi Tanchum's drasha. Once we mentioned one drasha from Rabbi Tanchum, we're going to mention a couple of other drashas from Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum tells us, Chiger biraglo achas. If a person is lame in only one leg, he too is potter min harir. Just like if you had only one of the two disabilities, your hearing or your speech, you were potter from harir. So too, if even one of your legs wasn't working, you're also potter from the mitzvah harir. Why? Because the pasuk says, Shalosh rigolim tochogli bashana. So the word shenema rigolim is a play on the word raglayim, that you have to have both legs. Just like we said ozneim, you have to have both ears. So too, rigolim means you have to have both legs working well. Verse says, really? Is that what the drasha rigolim is coming to teach us? That comes to exclude a person that has a peg leg, a person who has a leg that was a prosthetic. Nebuch, his foot was amputated, and they had to put on a prosthesis on him, a wooden leg, labali kabin. So therefore, that's what you need regalim to teach me, that you can't expect somebody who has a wooden leg to go up for ria or hakel. They're parted from that mitzvah. Someone says, no. That we learned out because it says shalosh pomim bashana yirei kozuchuch. It says shalosh pe'omim. How mi pe'omim nafka? The word pe'omim teaches us prat lebali kabin, and therefore regalim can come to teach us that you need to have both of your legs. The Tanya, and because we learned in the Braisa, the word pe'omim shalosh pomim bashana. So that comes to teach me ein pomim el raglayim. Pe'omim means also raglayim. So that comes to exclude the person that has a wooden leg, the bali kabin. V'chein omer, because we have another pasuk that teaches us that this is the right way to understand the word pa'amim. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya where it says, "Chein Omer tirmisena regel ragle oni pame dalim." What does this pasuk mean? It says that your foot will step on it, your foot will trample it, and whose foot is it to a mat? Ragle oni, the foot of the oni, pame dalim, the foot of dalim. So you see that pame means over here the foot. So therefore, that's what we know, that pa'amim means foot or regel. And we have another pasuk. This is from Shir HaShirim, where it says, "Ma'yafu fe'omayich b'na'olim bas nediv." What does this pasuk mean? It says, "How beautiful are your pa'omayich, your footsteps in your shoes, oh you bas nediv, you daughter of the nediv, the very big donor, the very big chosh of a person." Okay, now let's dash in this pasuk a little bit more, since we mentioned it. So we'll dash in the second pasuk a little bit more. The purpose of the pasukim was to show us that pa'amim means regel, and therefore now we're going to dash in the second pasuk. Doresh Rava dash in this pasuk. What does it mean? Ma'yafu pa'amayeh panolim bas nediv. So this pasuk is coming to teach us. Kamenoim ragleim shayisrael b'shor sh'olim l'regel. This pasuk is telling us how great it is, how beautiful it is when we go olu regel. When Klai Yisrael goes up to be olu regel for the shlosh regalim, it's a beautiful thing. Bas Nadiv, who's that's a reference to? That's referring to Klai Yisrael as Bito Shel Avram Avinu, Shenikun Nadiv. Avram was known as the Nadiv, and we, all of Klai Yisrael, are referred to as his children, his daughter. And we see the Shenemar, Avram Avinu is called the Nadiv, Shenemar Nadive Amim Nesofu Am Elokei Avraham. The Pasuk from Tehillim that we're familiar with tells us that the Nadive Amim, or the Chosh of a people of all the nations of the world, Nesofu Am Elokei Avraham. They were the nations of Avraham Avinu. Avraham is Av Hamon Goyim. He is the father of all the nations of the world. So Avraham is referred to as a Nadiv. Now it says over here, Elokei Avraham doesn't mention Elokei Yitzchak Yaakov. So this pasuk was written until him way after Avraham Avinu was alive. So it was Yitzchak and Yaakov. Why does it only mention Elokei Avraham? That's because Avraham had a unique feature, if you wish, that he was he was the first one to really recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own, and therefore he's known as the Tchilo Lagerim. Tosus here in Dibur Maskul Tchilo Lagerim tells us Shinitztave al Hamilo Tvei Mikol Osum Shelafonav. He was the one that was the first one to become a real ger. He was the one that had the bris mila, and therefore he's known as the Nadiv Elokei Avram, and it doesn't mention Elokei Yitzchak and Yaakov in this context. Rashi over here adds that why was he called the Nadiv? He says, "Al Shem Shenidvo Libo LaHaki Baruch." He donated his heart, so to say, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was the first one over here, LeKabalem O Mitzos, and he was the prototype Ger, and he caused all the other Gerim to be Mekabel O Mitzos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were Miskai. Barakatina says, "Amar Rav Kahana, Dorash Rabbi Natsun Bar Minyuni Mishum Rabbi Tanchum." Another drash over here that we said over the name of Rabbi Tanchum. This is from Rav Kahana telling us that Rav Natsun Bar Minyuni Dashin is the name of Rabbi Tanchum. My decision was the pasuk mean when it says the Habor Reikim B'Mayim. When Yosef Atzadik was thrown into the pit, it said the pit was empty. However, it then adds it doesn't have water. Of course, if it's empty, it doesn't have water. Mimashvashem Habor Reik and Yodeshim B'Mayim. Obviously, once you tell me the pit is empty, so of course it doesn't have water in it. What do you have to tell me? A borek and ein bo mayim. So therefore, the drush, the famous drush, Rashi Chumash brings this down. Ela mayim ein bo avon nechoshim v'akravim yesh bo. So this is also a drush from Rabbi Tanchum, this famous drush that the pit didn't have water, but it had nechoshim and akravim. And of course, the Medrash tells us that the brothers were really testing Yosef HaTzadik, because it says that a person is a true Yari Shemayim, that the animals have no shlit of him. So they said, if Yosef HaTzadik is really a tzadik, then the Nechashim HaKravim won't hurt him. So therefore, they were testing him, so to say, to see if he was in fact worthy to be saved. The Gemara continues in direction of the following brisa. Tana Rabbanon, Ma'aseh Rav Yochanan ben Broka. There once was a story between these two great Tanoim, Rav Yochanan ben Broka, and now the Gersa that we have is Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma. But in the Masoreh Sashas, he brings down over here, and it's in parentheses in our Gemara, he says that this is not the correct Gersa. It should be Rav Elazar Chisma. And he says, go look in the Sof Paragimel in Pirkei Avos, and if you look in the 18th Mishnah over there, the last Mishnah over there, it also calls him actually Rabbi Eliezer ben Chisma in many Svarim, but the Tosus Yontif, and as well there's a beautiful introduction in the Kahati to this Mishnah over there that explains why his real name is really Rabbi Elazar Chisma and not Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma. It's not that his father's name was Chisma. He was known as Relazar, the one that was Chisma. Chisma means nischazik. He was strengthened. And that's because he was a big Talmud Chacham. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of theirs also. So you'll see that he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva as well. And he was recognized as being a huge Talmud Chacham. And he once went to a certain town and he didn't know how to be Poris as a Shema. And he didn't know the proper way to get an aliyah. So they laughed at him and said, you're a big Talmud Chacham, you're the one that they call rabbi. So he went to learn by Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva taught him what Poris as a Shema means and how to get an aliyah properly. And then he came back and they saw that he really was interested in knowing the right way to do things. That wasn't the custom where he came from, but he learned the customs over there. So therefore they called him Rev Elazar Chachisma, or Chisma, that was Nischazik. So that's why that's his name. That's a description of him, and not that he was the son of somebody named Chisma. In any event, these two great Tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Elazar Chisma, Shehalchu L'Akpil Pnei Rabbi Yeshua B'Pekin, they went to meet their Rebbe in the city of Pekin. Rashi points out, Yontif Hoya, and therefore, Chayav Adon L'Chabi is Rabbo B'Akpolos Panim. A person has to go visit his Rebbe. As we know, the famous story from Disha Shamas, where she goes to Elisha to go and save her baby, Nebuch, that died. So her husband asks her, where are you going? Why are you going to Elisha? It's not Yontif, it's not Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we learn from there, it's not Shabbos, we learn from there the idea that you're supposed to go to your Rebbe and visit him on these days. In any event, they went to visit the Rebbe, Rabbi Shua, in Pekin on Yontif. Omel Hem, Rabbi Shua said to them, he wasn't able to go to the Beis Medrash that day, and he says, Machidish Hoyev Beis Medrash, no, you were learning. What was the subject? What were you learning today? What was the chiddush that you learned in Beis Medrash today? Armelova said to him, Tamidecha, we're your Tamidim Anu. Umemecha Anu Shosu. We're not going to tell you what we learned. We learned from you. You're our Rebbe. So he said to him, No, tell me. Armelam, Afal Bikate. Even though I'm your Rebbe, I'm asking you, what did you learn in Beis Medrash today? Don't be upset about teaching me something. You obviously learned the Beis Medrash today. You must have said some good vart. So tell me a good vart. So Shabbos Shem Yosef. So Rabbi Yeshua asked him whose Shabbos it was. Now, there was a famous machlokas between this Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, the three cases that are recorded in Shas, where they had a little bit of a sichsuch between them, it was all l'shem Shemayim, and they ultimately deposed for a short period of time Rabbi Gamliel, and they put in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah after Rabbi Gamliel, so to say, did tshuva. So they reinstituted Rabbi Gamliel, and he was either the Nasi 2 out of every 3 weeks or 3 out of every 4 weeks, and they left Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to, because it's not right to take him down after he had jumped in when they needed him. So he was for either 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 4 weeks the Nasi. So they would take turns giving the shir and running the base medish. So Rabbi Yeshua asked, whose week was it? Shabbos Shalmi Haiso. Was this a week that Rabbi Gamliel was learning, or was this a week that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was learning? So they answered him, Shabbos Shalmi Elazar ben Azariah Haiso. This week it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who was the Nasi. And they said, Ubeme Haiso Haggadah Yom. So Yeshua asked them, Nu, and what were you learning today? What was the Haggadah? What was the Shir on today? So Amulo. So these two Tamidim, Yochim ben Broka and Rabbi Elazar Chisma, said to him, the Parashas Hakel. Ah, we were learning this mitzvah of Hakel. That's why this story is being brought in here now. It deals with Hakel. Umatarishba, Nu, Rabbi Yeshua says, it's like pulling out of them. No, and what did he say? So he told them and explained the pasuk which I mentioned before. Hakel es ha'om ha'anoshim ve'anoshim v'yataf. So he dashed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah dashed this pasuk. He said, "Im anoshim boim l'umot." I understand the men come; they come to learn, and noshim boos l'shmoa. The women come to listen. Now Tosus points out that this opinion goes against the Yerushalmi, against Ben Azai's opinion. That you're obligated to teach your women Torah. That's not the way that this Brisa Paskin. Here it says the women just come lishmoa, come to just hear. They weren't obligated to, but they went to listen. So that's the men and the women. We understand why they come. However, Taf, the little children. What's the purpose of bringing the little children to the midst of Hakel? They're too young. So the Gemara says, because the parents will get schar from bringing them. Tosos points out in the bottom Tosos, this is the source of the very common custom, to bring young children to shul. That's the minhag of Kai. So the fathers bring their children to shul, even though the children are too young. They sit next to the father, they hear, and they enjoy the beautiful scenery. We give them candy, and this makes them want to come to shul. And this is brought down. Masar Sashah says this is a Masechah Sofrim that this din is brought down over there. In any event, this was the drasha that Rabbi Elazar Azariah said. Rabbi Shua said, "Wow, you didn't want to tell me this." Margolis you weren't rushing to go and tell me this halacha. What a great halacha! There was a margolis tov. It's a beautiful pearl. It's a very precious jewel, and you didn't want to tell it to me. This is the story of these two tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan and Broka, and Rabbi Elazar Chisma in their discussion with Rabbi Yeshua. Now, we'll have other drushes from Elazar ben Azariah as well now. For old Darash, furthermore, Elazar ben Azariah said the following drusha. The pasuk tells us from Dvorim, Es Hashem hamartem hayom, and the rest of the pasuk continues, we don't quote it over here, Lios v'cho le'elokim, v'lelechiz v'drochov, l'shmorachu kovim v'sosov, u'mishpatov, l'shmor b'kolo. The Klal Yisrael, Es Hashem hamartem hayom, you praise that Kodesh Baruch Hu today. So that's the critical concept. And likewise, it's written also in that Perek Chavav. It says over there, right after the next pasuk, Hashem says the same thing back to you. Just like you praise Hashem, Hashem praises you. Hashem praises you. The rest of the pasuk, those who are Am Sugula, Kasher Dibra Loch, Lishmoch Mitzvah, that you are an Am Sugula. Hashem praises you. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem praises us. Now, what is exactly going on over here? So, Am Alehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Atem Asi Suni, you made me Chativa Achaz Ba'olam. You made me a special Chativa. Rashi says this is Shevach, a special Shevach. You praised me. Shevach Echad, Shevach Miyuchad. That you, Klal Yisrael, call me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unique and special. And therefore, I return that and call you unique and special. Atem, Asi Suni, Chativa Achaz Be'olam. You made me into one. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu, Shem Echad. V'ani Eseschem, Chativa Achaz Be'olam. And I made you into one as well. What is that? Atem, Asi Suni, Chativa Achaz Be'olam. Dirsim, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu, Shem Echad. You referred to me as Echad. And therefore, I refer to you as one as well. Shenem, I'm returned to Gimel Amid Beis. The pasuk tells us, Umi kamcho Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Famous pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Klal Yisrael, who is like you? You are unique. You are single. Mi kamcho Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. So we call Hashem echad. Hashem calls us echad. That's a chativa achas. Now, that's the drasha that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. Then it says, V'afu posach v'dorash. Now, Rashi says, The Afu, this is a reference to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He continued darshning. However, if you look in the Runshberg over here, Oz Gimel, he says from the Marshah that the Marshah says that this is Rabbi Yeshua. He was still talking with his Talmidim, and Rabbi Yeshua went and said this next drasha. But the simple reading is like Rashi. This is a continuation of the drasha of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. In any event, whoever it was, Pasach v'Doresh, and he said as follows: Divrei Chachamim kidarvanos. The words of the Chachamim, as expressed in this pasuk from Koheles, tells us that they are like darvonos. Darvonos is like an ox goad. It's something that prods the ox to go in a certain straight line. Uvim masmaros nituim. This is like pegs, nails that are straight. Vale asufos, for the people that are gathered. Nitnu meroa echon. They were given by one shepherd. Now, what does this mean? How do we darshan this pasuk from Koheles? So the drasha is as follows: Lama nimshlu divrei Torah ledarvon. Why are the words of the Torah compared to this ox goad? So what is that? Loma aloch, to teach us. Ma darvon zeh, this ox goad, the whole purpose of it is mechavin et sapara litlamea lahotzi chayim laolam. This is make sure that the ox plows in a straight line to maximize the benefit of this field to bring forth life, food, to the world. So too, the Torah is like that. Av divrei Torah are like this darvon. They push a person to go in the right path, instead of deviating and going off nebuch in the wrong direction to a life of death. They lead you to a life of life, to the road of life, rather than nebuch to the road of death. So too, I might have thought, okay, so this is something that could change. It's a darvon, it's a metaltal, it's a movable object. So therefore, the Torah is also a movable object. The Torah is this generation, the Torah says this, and this generation, the Torah says something else. So one might have, Rahman al-Islam, thought that. So too, the words of the Torah change, Rahman al-Islam, so that's absolutely incorrect. Tamalomar masmeros, that's why they're pegs, they're like nails that are hooked in and that don't move. So it's like nails. Imam Misamer Zeh, Chos V'lo Yoseh. When you go and put a nail into the wall, so what does it do? It goes and makes an indentation in the wall, and it removes some of the wall. So I might have thought that the Torah is a negative thing. It can somehow be Chos V'lo Yoseh. It doesn't add on to anything. So that's why I might have thought, Avdivri Torah Chaseh V'lo Yoseh, that they cause a diminution and not a increase. So Gemara says, no, that's totally incorrect. That's why I said, Talmud Lomar, Nituim, it's planted. Just like it's talking about over here planting, so too these pegs are compared to the Torah. The Torah is constantly parin v'rovin. The words of the Torah never cease. The words of the Torah can never be fully fathomed. You can constantly learn more and more. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah continues to dash in this pasuk, or going into the Marsha, it's brought down by the Runshberg. This is Rabbi Yeshua Darshting. He says, Balei Asupos, the Pasuk says that this is the ones who gather, the masters are the ones who gather. So, Elu Tamidei Chachamim, Shioshun Asupos, Asupos Osim Torah. This is a reference to the Tamidei Chachamim that sit and learn all together in these large congregations. Halolu Mitamim, Halolu Mitamim. And they fight back and forth. This group of Tamidei Chachamim, this Talmud Chachamim says it's Tami, and this Talmud Chachamim group of Tamidei Chachamim say it's Tar. They're back in the Chavrusa. So, Halolu Osim, Halolu Mitirim, these say that it's also, they say it's mutter. Hello, post, and they say it's something is possible. Hello, Maxim, they say no, it's kosher. Shema Yomar Odom Hechani Lomi Torah Me'ata. So a person listening to this says, wait a second, how am I ever going to figure out what it is? Yeah, always a machlokas. I always, when I ask a question in shul, so I always ask people what the answer is, and I say, if you answer machlokas, you're usually going to be right. Then Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of drushes, a lot of different ways to look at the Torah, and you have different opinions. So how's a person supposed to know which is the right one? Talmud Lomar, therefore, the end of the pasuk says, Kulam nitnu meroa echad. They're all given from one shepherd. They're all given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kel echad nisanon, parnis echad amoron, mipi odon kol amasim Baruch Hu. That it was all given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave it to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all from the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dechsev, Vayidaber Elokim, es kol advar me'elah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that spoke all of these words in the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. So too, avata, you have to go and distinguish between the words of the different Talmidei Chachamim. I say oznecha ki aparkeses. You should make your ears into an aparkeses. What's an aparkeses? So Rashi tells us that this aparkeses is something that was placed by the millstones, and it would go and filter out as they brought down the grain. It would all bring it into one place. So this was some sort of a funnel, and therefore you should make this like a funnel for you, Afato, I say, Ozlicho, make your ears like a funnel that will gather in, Uknelicho Lev Mavin, and acquire for yourself a heart that can be Mavin to understand the differences between those that are Aser and those that are Matir, etc. Lishmo is Nivriya Matanim, there's Nivriya Matarim, there's Nivriya Osim, there's Nivriya Matirim, there's Nivriya Posim, there's Nivriya Machshir. So you should be able to go and hear all of the arguments back and forth and figure out Torah Lamita, figure out the correct pshat in the Torah. And therefore, all this back and forth, these Bali Asufos, that's how we get to the right pshat in the Gemara, how we get to the right psak halacha lamaisa. The Braisa continues and says, Baloshon hazeh amar lahem. So this is what Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Chisma. He says, Ein dar yasom shabbi Elozo ben Azaya shari b'socho. All of this was told to them by Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Rav Elozer Chisma to Rabbi Yoshua, and he was so impressed with the Rav Elozer ben Azariah's Torah that day. So therefore, he said to them, no generation could ever be considered an orphan generation if it has as its leadership Rav Elozer ben Azariah. Rav Yeshua was so impressed with Rav Elozer ben Azariah. No, why did they have to like be forced out of them to go and tell Rabbi Yoshua? Was learned that they remember at the very start of this brisa, they were very reluctant to tell Rav Yeshua what they learned in the Beis Medrash. They said, oh no, we all tell me that we don't learn Torah from anybody else but you. They were scared, so to say, to go and tell Rav Yeshua what they learned in the Beis Medrash of Elozer ben Azariah. Why? Why didn't they just tell him? Well, they had to have the whole process of saying, oh no, will you tell me then? We don't want to tell you anything else. You're a Rebbe. Just tell them, this is what we learned in the Beis Medrash today. Why were they reluctant? So the Gemara says, Mishum Maisa Shoy, because there was once a Maisa that a Talmud told his Rebbe something that he had learned, and the Rebbe was not happy with it, and that Talmud was punished. So therefore, they were a little bit fearful to go and tell Rabbi Yeshua anything. Mishum Maisa Shoy, what was that Maisa? The Tanya. This is a Tosefta in Yodayim, and it tells us over there that Maisa, there once was a story, Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis, Shaholach Lahakpil, Pnei Rebbe, the gear that we have is a loss, it should be Rabbi Eliezer, but Lud. He went to visit the great Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol in Lud. Maybe it was Yontif, he went to visit him, or whatever the reason, he went to visit him, and Amalo, when he goes to his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, he tells him, Machin Yishoyev Beis Medrash Yom. No, he asked the same question like Rabbi Yeshua asked, Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Rav Elozer Chisma. So here in this story, Rabbi Elazar asked Rav Yossi ben Durmaskis, what'd you learn in Beis Medrash today? And here he wasn't reluctant. He said it right away. Amlo Nimnu v'gomer, he said, we had a vote. All the Chacham got together and decided this halacha, Amon u'Moav, the lands of Amon u'Moav, which weren't necessarily originally part of Eretz Yisrael. They only became part of Eretz Yisrael subsequently. So originally, they were involved in the din of Shemitah, but then subsequently, the rabbi said, no, they don't have Shemitah in Amon u'Moav, therefore you're allowed to plant, and what do you do in that seventh year? What type of Trumas and Maaser do they take off? So they paskin the Ma'asrin Maaser Ani b'Shvi'is. In the seventh year, when in Eretz Yisrael, there is no Trumas and Maisus, but here in Amun Moav territory, so they did have plant and they did have Maiser, so they took off Maiser Rishon and they took off Maiser Ani in the seventh year, not Maiser Sheni. They took off Maiser Ani Bashvias. So that's what we darshan today in the Beis Medrash. That's what Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis told his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Amalo, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol tells him, Yossi, my Talmud Yossi, Pshot Yodcha, the Kabbalah Necha. Go stick your hand out and accept your eyes. In other words, you're wrong. You and all your colleagues were wrong. Parshat Yodav. So, as a good Talmud, Rav Yosef in Damascus sticks his hand out, but keep it later. And so does he collected his eyes. In other words, he became blind. Bacha, Rabbi Elazar, again, is the year that we have, but it should be Rabbi Elazar. The Amr, he said, Hashod Hashem liyareyav uriso lohodiyam. But these great Talmidei Chachamim, they were wrong in terms of their thinking that they were Nimnu v'Gomru, but they still got it right. Hashem gives the soul to those people that are righteous people, that are Yorish Shemayim. Because Amalo, Rabbi Eliezer told Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis, Lech emor lehem, go back to the Beis Medrash and tell them, Al tochushu l'minyanchem, don't go back and have any regrets about how you voted. You voted correctly, albeit this had already been decided years before. I myself heard from Yochanan Zakkai, Shoshom Rabbo, hear from his Rebbe, and his Rebbe, Rabbo, Mirabo from his Rebbe, that this is Allah Moshe Mishinai, Hilchus Moshe Mishinai, Amun Mo Ba'asu Ma'asu Oni Bashvias. You didn't have to go and vote on it. This was already Allah Moshe Mishinai. But we see from here that Rabbi Elazar seemed to be upset, Rabbi Yosef Durmaskis, and he became blind. Albeit in a moment, we'll see that Rabbi Elazar healed him. In any event, That's what he told him to go back to the Beis Medrash. Now, Matam, what was the reason why they decided to go and make Amun Amov have Meiser Ani in the seventh year, in the Shemitah year, because Shemitah no longer was applicable there? So, Habi Krachim Kovshu Oli Mitzrayim, because when we came to Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim, so Yoshua conquered the land, the 7 years of Kibush, 7 years of Chiluk, and however, they conquered many more areas than ultimately the Ole Bava, when they came back after the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, they came back to rebuild the second base of Mikdash. So Habe Krochem Kovshu Ole Mitzrayim Velo Kovshim Ole Bava. They weren't conquering all of those cities. And therefore, any of those cities that they only conquered the first time, but didn't conquer the second time, the Nesha Kiddusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Asid Level. So those cities didn't have the Kiddusha. So ultimately, Ammon and Moab did not have the same Kiddusha, even though they were conquered the first time, they didn't have the same Kiddusha permanently, and therefore they didn't have the din of Shvius. V'hinichum, and therefore they were left not with their kedusha, k'deish yismuch aleihem aniyim b'shvius. So therefore, the poor people in Eretz Yisrael who weren't able to grow their crops, they weren't able to plant and harvest. So therefore, they were nothing to eat. So therefore, they got produce from Ammon and Moab. That's why it was called. That's why they set up that it should be ma'aser ani. There should be extra food for that aniyim in Eretz Yisrael. So the bottom line is, this was Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and not, in fact, something that they were Nimnu V'Gomru. No, Rav Yosef and Dorkamis, Nebuch is blind. So Tana. So we learn further in the Brisa. Yachar Shnishias V'Daito, after Rav Eliezer told them this Halacha and explained to them, Omar Yiratzon Shiachzu Eine Yosef Ben Durmaskis, that his vision should return Limakolman to their place. V'chazu, and Rav Eliezer Godel was such a great Talmud Chacham, such a great tzaddik, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered his tefillah, and Rav Yosef Ben Durmaskis regained his vision. More continues in Darshan the following Brisa. Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Shota. What's the definition of a Shota? We talked about Chayri Shota V'Kota, and we said a person's not a Bar Das, he's not a Ben Deya, he doesn't have mental competence. What's the definition of that? So Hayotzi Yechidu V'Layla, V'Alom B'Veis HaKvaros, V'Makareya Eskesuso. So three things are listed in this Brisa. If the person goes out alone at night, again, for no purpose whatsoever. V'alom b'beis hakvaros, a person goes to sleep in the beis hakvaros, again, for no purpose whatsoever. Or a person tears his clothing, v'makareyas k'suso, for no purpose whatsoever. So in all of these situations, this person is obviously a shota. He's doing something that doesn't make any sense. Mor says, itmar, but wait a second, we learned in the beis medrash, refuna amar, achu kulam b'vasachas, that you have to do all three of them in order to be considered crazy, in order to be considered a shota. Not enough to do one of them, you have to do all three. Rav Yochanan said, no, I feel ba'achas mem. Rav Yochanan said that even if you do one of the three, that defines you as a shota. Mor says, what exactly is this machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan? Hechidami, what are we talking about? E de ovid luhu derech shtos. If the person did it because he never had a ruach shtos, he was crazy, so then, I feel b'chad nami, then what difference does it make if he did all three? Once you demonstrate that you're Nebuch crazy, that you are a shota, so then just doing one of them should be enough. And either lo avid lo derech shtos, and if he didn't do it for no reason whatsoever, he had a purpose in doing it, so then if he did all three, if he has a reason behind doing it, it's not derech shtos, so afilu kulu nami lo. So then even if he did all three, for example, if he had a purpose in doing each of these three things, he wouldn't be considered crazy, even though he did all three. So what exactly is this machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan? Someone says, Li'olam, the Ka'ovid Lu Derech Shtos. We're talking here about that he did it because Nebuch, he was crazy. However, one could argue, V'alom B'Veis HaKvaros, the person who sleeps in the cemetery, maybe he had a purpose for it, you could argue. Emer, K'dei Shetishra, Olav Ruach Tuma, Hu Dekovid. He somehow wanted to have this Ruach Tuma of the B'Veis HaKvaros settle on him, so maybe he could do various sorts of necromancy, all sorts of Tumadika things, somehow by having this Ruach Tuma on him. Likewise, by Yosef Yechidu Lila, the person goes out alone at night. Amar, maybe his purpose was that he wanted Gandrifos Achade. He wanted to have this Gandrifos. Rashi explains that this is something, he says, Anishamati, Choli Ha'oches Mitoch Daiga. This is some sort of a sickness that goes on a person because of worry. But Rashi says, my own pshat is, Shenischamim Gufo, his body got heated up, Yotzi L'mokum Avir, and he needed to go outside. That's what it means. He was hot. So therefore, he went outside, and he went to the cemetery. It was a nice, cool breeze. Likewise, a Makari Suso, if somebody rips his garment, Amor, Ba'amach Shavasu, the reason he ripped his garment, when he was so lost in his thought, that he didn't realize what he was doing. So therefore, one might have thought that even though it's a Ruach Shtos that entered him, there was a possible reason for it. So Kivan Dabdinu L'kulu, but once you see that he did all three, then Havalahu, we turn to Dalar Madalev, he becomes no different than Kamisha Nogach Shar Chamar Vagamal. In order to declare a Shar no longer being a Tam, an innocent type of a Shar that you only pay Chatzin Nezet, but to make the Shar into a Shar Mu'ah, that now you pay full damages for, so You don't have to hit the same animal three times. So this is like Mishanagach Shor. One time you're goring a shor, another time you're goring a chamor, a donkey, another time a camel, a gomel, a nasa mur l'kol. Then you become a mur for all three of these animals. So too, Rabbi Yochanan argues that just doing one of them is enough to demonstrate that you're a shoter, whereas Rav Huna said, Achu kulam v'vasach, you have to do all three because of this concern that maybe it's just a reason behind doing it, but when you do all three, that demonstrates that it's not a reason behind doing it. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa is going to say that Rav Huna's idea that you have to do all three v'vasachas to be considered a shota is incorrect based upon the following brisa. And he says, Ishmiel Leila Rav Huna, if Rav Huna had only known, Hod Tanya, this brisa, Maroyim didn't know all the brises, if he had known this brisa, then he would have retracted his opinion and have to do all three. Because what does the brisa say? The brisa says, "Detanya ezehu shota zeham abid kol mashenoslo." A definition of shota is somebody that goes and loses whatever you give him. So that's one thing. So if Rav Huna had heard this brisa that says even one thing is enough, so then have a hodabe, he would have retracted his opinion. So Gemara says, "Iboiluhu." They ask the following shaila: "Ki have a hodabe mi mikra kisusahu to have a hodabe?" If Rav Huna would have retracted his opinion by hearing this, would it only be in something that was similar to this brisa, which is hamaabe komash nosalo, that he loses whatever you give him? So then he would retract only the opinion that if you rip your suit, you rip your clothing. Then he would have said that's enough to do it alone, because the damiloha, because that's analogous to hamaabe komash nosalo. Or would he said, no, once you show me that one thing, I'll do more, mikulu habi hodah. No, even the others, you don't have to do the more of vasachas. Because once you show me that it could be one thing, so it doesn't have to be all the other things, even though they're not similar to hama'abi komashinosu lo. So that's the question that the Gemara asks, and Teiku, we live with an unanswered, what would Rav Huna have retracted if he had listened to this brisa and had retracted? With this, we conclude today's share.